You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Roschon Johnson, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. I'm joined by the trash man and his loudly panting dog that's obviously down by his legs somewhere.
He's actually across the room.
That dog, man. You need to get him some. You need to get that dog in better shape so he's not.
Dog is 13 years old.
And
a big dog. Like I'm every day he wakes up in the morning, I'm shocked.
Yeah. Well, I woke up today shocked because I awoke to the news, or I guess I didn't awake to the news, but we got news yesterday about J.K. Dobbins going to the Denver Broncos and what that means for RJ Harvey. We're gonna go over some of the biggest news coming out of mandatory mini camps right now, as far as it pertains to fantasy football. A bunch of stuff going on, a bunch of stuff that we need to monitor. Of course, a reminder, version one, it'll now soon be version 1.2. We're already up to version 1.1 of the redraft ultimate draft cheat sheet for PPR leagues at rosterwatch.com. If you follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper, an expert quality draft is always guaranteed using the mythical cheat sheet at Roster Watch, the original three-step cheat sheet, an expert quality draft, again, always guaranteed. But I was noticing in running some mocks even earlier today and yesterday, doing some updates, RJ Harvey has been falling a little bit, guys, even just with the speculation of J.K. Dobbins. And now J.K. Dobbins is there.
I was never that hot on him. You know that.
Well, I'm not going to risk being out on RJ Harvey, but I was getting concerned about having to take him in the fifth round if you wanted to get him of PPR drafts for a while there. It's gotten down to where you can sometimes get him in the seventh, and if I'm getting him in the seventh round, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the sixth, seventh turn, seventh round. That's about where I've been priced in right now. And the word there, Cody, we'll just start with you, is that Denver figures to give Dobbins a long look in that third down role ahead of week one. So I don't know what that means to you. Whenever I look at J.K. Dobbins, I don't necessarily see a dude that I consider a traditional third down back. Last season, it was the most receptions he's ever had, mainly because he was able to play 13 games, but 32 catches last year. He has catch total, in his rookie season, he played for 15 games. He caught 18 balls. I don't know if that's the way that I've really pictured J.K. Dobbins. I wonder if this is more of an indictment on possibly Audric Estime, Jaleel McLaughlin, the other guys, and it is R.J. Harvey. It can't be an indictment on R.J. Harvey. They just used a second round pick on the guy. How do you see it?
I don't know. Because a week ago we talked about the fact that Sean Payton told us you know, I didn't give Audric Estime enough opportunities, and I want to see him with opportunities. And he's lumped all these guys into the same bucket. And to be fair, Jaleel McLaughlin was pretty fine in a third down role. Now, you're looking for a step up. I get looking for a step up from Jaleel McLaughlin, but I think we can all in the same room say that J.K. Dobbins as a pass catcher, as a third down back, is not light years better than Jaleel McLaughlin as a third down pass catching back. And when you compare like Dobbins to Harvey, and even in college, Harvey had 61 receptions. Dobbins had 71 receptions. You look at what Dobbins has done the last, his entire career in the NFL, he's got 73 receptions in 37 career games. Like, he's not this, you know, dominant pass catching back. And the one thing that we have even learned from Achilles injuries over the course of the last 5, 6, 7 years, where it feels like the Achilles recovery has advanced a little bit and allowing players to at least get back and have a career, maybe not an elite career, but get back and have a career. The biggest deterrent has come in the pass catching game, catching the ball out of the backfield and moving those lateral directions. That's been where these guys off of the Achilles have really kind of been hindered. So they obviously worked them out. He obviously passes some sort of test that they're looking for. But as far as a third down rule, I'm going to plead coach speak here and just say that that's just him saying that. And more so than anything, Dobbins is going to get a real shot to just carry the football.
No, that's what it is. I mean, it's pure conjecture from this guy that it's going to be the third down rule. I don't know where he pulled that out of. But yeah, Dobbins is a two down back. He's going to get a shot at that. I don't hate Dobbins and Harvey. A backfield of Dobbins and Harvey, you know, for fantasy. For
if anything, you would think that they would say like Harvey is. Harvey caught 11% of his team's passes at UCF. I mean, it wasn't as high a it wasn't as high a total number. Travion Henderson last year caught 27 balls for Ohio State, but he was only 8% of his team's total share of receptions. RJ Harvey, 11% of his team's total share of receptions last season at UCF. I mean, he's a good pass catching back. It's one of the things that we kind of liked about him. And I'm not saying I would want to relegate him to that. I think that he's a dynamic between the tackles runner too. He can create so well. He's so elusive, but maybe a little bit of a, you know, we're not getting the, it's just with Dobbins there, it's not quite the you know, this is the perfect just plum situation that it was before that. It's still good. We got to remember that J.K. Dobbins, like Cody said, he's a diminished player. He's a diminished player at this point.
Diminished from what he once was, but still got paid. Still got paid twice as much as Nick Chubb did to go to Houston, which kind of shocked me.
Speaking of Nick Chubb in Houston, so I just got to see just now on X my first glimpses of him in a Houston uniform. He was actually working out he's taking handoffs from C.J. Stroud. I mean, they're not in pads or anything like that, but Trash Man, would like to hear your insight on this. He and C.J. Stroud already have a secret handshake. Joe Mixon is ostensibly still in a walking boot. So Nick Chubb's just out there automatically working with these dudes. Your thoughts on how much this kind of shakes things up for Mixon? I moved Mixon as soon as we got this news. Mixon was a guy who I took from, I mean, I understand that this is going to be a little bit aggressive, but I did, you know, Mixon. So Mixon, if you look at where he's going right now, I basically moved Mixon down a whole entire tier, because if you look at where he's going right now, we have him on FFPC going at 44, on Underdog 52, on the Draft Wizard ADP. So over on Fantasy Pros, people doing fantasy drafts over there, 34. He's number 31 on ESPN. And as far as the expert consensus rankings on Fantasy Pros, he's 46. If you mix all those up together, it's an ADP somewhere fourth round. ADP, we weren't getting much of him as things stood, but on the Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet, which is designed to make sure that you leverage an ADP at every turn and that you're not you're not drafting positions and spots wherever ADP leverage exists at other cross positional spots. I think that Joe Mixon now belongs like
I think he belongs with like David Montgomery and stuff. Travion Henderson in PPR. This type of player. Cody, your thoughts?
I don't really know what to make of it. So the coup quotes I heard from Nick Chubb was him talking about, with this injury, it takes about 2 years to really get back, so I'm over the hump. He was questioning why Houston brought him in. Then he says, I came here and I saw a bunch of guys who like to work, not talk, and realize I'm a perfect fit. And I heard Sony Michel talk about Nick Chubb and where Sony said he'd talked to Chubb.
Where did you hear Sony Michel opining on such things?
You know what radio station I listen to in the mornings. And anyway, he was saying he was with Nick like last week and that Chubb was in the best shape he's been in since he was early in his career and that he was fully back. And then
he looks good just running without pads on.
He says he always is working out, but he always just likes to go back to his hometown and just lift weights. And he rarely ever posts, but when he does post, it's obviously these big squats that everybody sees. But you know, I don't really know. I think this is going to be. Is it getting to the point where it's like a late career Adrian Peterson? Like, that's what I wonder. I wonder at what point, because that's kind of the career arc I see in like a Chubb, right? Chubb was like
– he hasn't healed back up like AP. AP would get hurt and heal up in like 6 months.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about early career, mid-career Adrian Peterson. I'm talking about the fact that Adrian was a god for like 6, 7, 8 years. And then when he started to go to Washington and Detroit and all these other places, you started to see Adrian Peterson – be really lumbering because the fatigue of his body started to catch up with him. And I'm saying that's could potentially be something that hits Chubb earlier because they're different human beings. And one of them's an alien and one of them's, you know, a little bit of an alien. That's what I'm saying is that's what I'm wondering of what Chubb looks like. Cause when I see this video, like, yeah, Chubb looks like he's moving good. But what I look for is like that lateral movement and the burst. And behind a really not good offensive line that we're going to get through offensive line rankings here next month. And I don't think Houston's going to be in the top half. I think they're going to be more so towards the bottom six, bottom seven. And for a back that, you know, at 29 years old and only $2.5 million, I'm not putting much stock into this Nick Chubb thing. I don't, you know.
It's mixing insurance.
They might, yeah, it's insurance. But even that, it's like I don't really know. You know, I don't know how good of an insurance it might be. Is it the general? It might be the general. Like it's not that good of insurance. Right. And I'm not going to let it hurt me on Mixon and make me kind of regress. I tried to fade Mixon a year ago and he showed us that he had juice left. He showed us that he had lateral abilities.
I'm worried about Mixon as it is.
No, I'm not. That was a year ago. He showed us when he went to Houston that Cincinnati was wrong for letting him walk. And that he could still play football. And so
he wasn't necessarily wrong for letting him walk from a team building perspective.
Correct. But from a football perspective was what I'm saying. Like when they let him, like when Minnesota let Delvin Cook walk, same draft class, I was like, all right, Minnesota's telling me that Delvin's toast. They were right. When Joe Mixon walked, I was like, all right, they're telling us Joe Mixon's toast. They don't want him anymore. But in reality, like you said, it was more of the money thing because they saw Chase, Burrow, Hendrickson's contracts coming about, and those are more important to your roster than it is to have a Mixon. And Mixon showed us when he got to Houston, he has the juice left. I think he still got juice. This is just, like Trestman said, this is insurance. This is like bad insurance that it is what it is. He'll be a guy, Chubb is, that if a Mixon goes down in the middle of a game, Chubb's going to be able to go in there and take 10 carries in the second half. But for fantasy football purposes, I'm out. Hands off. I don't want no part of Chubb. And I'm not going to let it deter me from drafting Joe Mixon with this little bit of value that we're going to get.
So what kind of – where do you want to take Mixon?
Question was ahead or behind Montgomery?
Yeah, let's just – how about ahead or behind of – like, does he belong in the same tiers like James Conner and Chuba Hubbard?
I would – yes. I would take Mixon ahead of Conner.
Really?
Probably ahead of Hubbard.
Well then, if you're going to take him ahead of those guys, you're going to get a lot of Joe Mixon.
I mean, Joe Mixon outperformed both of those guys in fantasy last season.
Cody, when I was doing cheat sheet sims and sending them to you, I was getting like these 95s and stuff. You're like, I'm not sure how much I like Mick. You getting Mixon in that one? I thought that you weren't that into it.
I think I just talked myself into it.
Mixon was a
Chubb thing. Chubb thing has gotten me like the opposite direction.
Mixon was a top 10 runner in average fantasy points per game last season.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at some of the advanced stats, like yards created and some of this, like it's some of the
advanced. He's at the bottom of your run stuff number, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not very good. He wasn't, and that's not my run stuff number, but I do love that. But that's
what I meant. Yeah.
That's from fantasypoints.com.
I mean, this is from a lower tier offensive line too.
But yes.
So how much of that are you factoring in?
I'm factoring that in a lot with Mixon. I'm worried about him. But maybe I've overreacted, and I have version 1.2 of the cheat sheet going up a little earlier today. I can get him up out of this David Montgomery. I guess his ADP is probably ahead of James Conner. Conner's current ADP right now. Yeah. So he's well ahead, especially if you look at so on ESPN, Conner. Right now, Connor's 53, Mixon's 31. So I might, you might have to have him there. I might have to put him back where he was.
Maybe we can get value on Connor.
All right.
I got one more in Houston I want to talk about before we get off of Houston. It's just a quick one.
All right.
I just made a move in Dynasty rankings with a tight end. He was not inside the top 250, and now he is. I moved Cade Stover. The tight end in Houston.
Hey, how about that?
I moved him up to just like in the 220s.
You're finally getting on board.
Well, I've liked Stover, but I just haven't liked him as much as you. He's the hay bale tossing animal.
Yeah.
Him at the combine last year. But he had good training camp, or good camp a couple of weeks ago, and then he's kind of rolled over into mini camp. D'Amico Ryan said he's making play after play. I was listening to the radio this morning in Houston, and they were talking about Cade Stover being like him and Kalen Bullock being like the two dudes through the first 2 days of camp. 7-on-7 yesterday, caught a 25-yard pass from Stroud, got a 15-yard touchdown from Stroud. And the videos I've seen of Cade Stover look really good. And the biggest note was about the fact that Dalton Schultz's like run blocking was not good last year, and Stover is looking fantastic in – that's kind of how they're projecting him, is he'll be able to take away some snaps from Dalton Schultz. So not so much a 2025 seasonal take as much it is like a dynasty thing, where it seems like Schultz is more so kind of coming fading into the darkness, and Stover's kind of taking that step forward this year.
We'll see if Kyren Williams can take a step forward here as far as his financial outlook. So Kyren Williams, he's not holding out of practice or anything. He is in contract talks right now. We've talked about it over and over and over again, what they're going to do with him as far as an extension, whether it's going to happen. We've talked about it dating back to January. They keep saying it's close, all this stuff. And it's kind of more of the same. McVay said there's a lot of discussions that are consistently going on with Williams' agent, Drew Rosenhaus, that the communication has been really positive. So he also said that Williams has been here. He's been leading, been doing exactly what Kyren does, and so we've been pleased. And we'll see if there's an opportunity to be able to land that plane. To me, this feels like more of the same with Kyren. It's saying we love him. He's great. He fits the mold of what we want out of these players. But we're just going to see if we can get it done. It feels like kicking the can down the road. And we know that Rosenhaus gets these deals done. Dude, he just got a offensive tackle in the 2026 class, $5 million over 2 years to play at University of Miami, man. You'd figure you could go in there and get something like that for Kyren Williams.
If I told you the Rams wanted Amari and Hampton in the draft last month, what would you say about Kyren Williams?
I think they did want Amari and Hampton.
That's why I asked.
Yeah.
If they would have drafted Amari Hampton,
Dude, actions speak louder than words, and they're really teasing this guy. They're like, I don't know if they're going to do a deal with them. I think they're going to let him play out his contract.
Yep.
So does this mean anything for us as far as drafting Jarquez Hunter and or Blake Corum?
I think they're smart in the late rounds.
Yeah,
I'd love to hear what Trash Man thinks though, because I generally want to stay away from Kyren in a situation like this, because I wonder about the, like, I feel like as a running back, you're going to go out there and you're going to be like, all right, give me 300 touches. I'm going to show you what I can do with it.
Exactly. That's where
yeah.
Like if he's playing out his contract, he's going to want to show what he can do.
And Trashman, what about the idea of, it's like, we have Quorum, we have Jarquez, we're only going to have Kyron for this one more year. We've seen
the wheels off
volume. Like, yeah, let's see if he can go out and make it, have a prove it season. If it's a good prove it season for him, it's a good prove it season for us, and then we can move on.
Yeah, look, I mean, it makes sense for teams to look for good rookie runners because they're cheap. You know, it always makes sense to do that, regardless of who your current running back is. So, I mean, I think it's really when you start looking for guys in free agency, that is really, really telling about how you feel about the guy you have, you know, in your backfield. Otherwise, you know, yeah, you're always going to be wanting to add talent in your backfield. I mean, this is it's short careers for these running backs, generally speaking. So, yeah, you're going to be looking to add somebody on the cheap. But I think they like Kyron. I think they're going to let him play out his contract. And I think, you know, he's going to get a ton of touches this season.
There were a bunch of reporters, rightfully so, around Steelers camp today. DK Metcalf was up there talking. All the questions about Aaron Rodgers. We get to see Aaron Rodgers running out there for the first time in Pittsburgh, taking questions from the media.
Game manager Aaron Rodgers.
Steelers wide receiver coach Zach Azani emphatically declared that Calvin Austin III is the Steelers wide receiver two after practice today. In an Aaron Rodgers offense, does this move the needle a little bit as far as just late round guys? We've always liked Calvin Austin. We always liked Calvin Austin III, but we also love Roman Wilson, and I really think that's a guy just Mr. Dependable. I would think that Aaron, you know, the whole Aaron Rodgers thing piques my interest with all these guys. Say what you will about him, but he was able to feed Devontae Adams last year. We're talking about a major quarterback upgrade any way you look at it here, even if you think that he's diminished and you think he's weird or whatever, right? It's still some form of Aaron Rodgers. Do we need to consider this?
Well, Calvin Austin, so 63% of his snaps were out of the slot in 2024.
Oh, I mean,
I like him as a slot receiver. I don't care who's playing opposite DK Metcalf because I don't think it's really going to matter for fantasy purposes. I do like Calvin Austin as a slot receiver for Aaron Rodgers. Harkens back to, you know, back in the Green Bay days.
So if you're taking a 14th round wide receiver or something like this, and I don't know if this is how the underdog ADPs are or whatever, but as I'm doing the draft wizard stuff and as I'm trying to go through and run these simulations to test the cheat sheet, like you can get guys in the final round, guys like Jaden Higgins or Rashad Bateman or just, you know, kind of those types of dudes, back of the roster fodder. Generally, we wouldn't want to be taking these guys at the very end. That's where optimally you'd want to take your Jarquez Hunter types or your, you know, we didn't even mention about with the Joe Mixon stuff and with the J.K. Dobbins stuff with R.J. Harvey. The Chicago Bears backfield has dodged the biggest bullets now, mm-hmm. as far as these running backs. So that opens up a whole new Roschon Johnson discussion. But Roschon's a guy you can be taking real. Like, those are the kind of guys I'd rather be taking late than these kind of scrubbish wide receivers. But if you did have a wide receiver need, like, should Calvin Austin be within even firing distance of that sort of last pick before kickers and defenses?
Yeah, definitely. Especially in PPR, full PPR formats. I think he's a good pickup there.
All right. Let's see here.
I mean, Calvin Austin was a dynamic player pre-draft. He was somebody we really liked.
Cody, coach speak or not coach speak, Todd Bowles said after practice today that rookie receiver, tiny, tiny, tiny Tez Johnson has a chance to play a vital role in the offense if he continues as he's shown.
No.
Just stop.
No.
Just stop.
Just stop.
One more thing from Steelers. Before, I should have mentioned this when we were talking Steelers, but I didn't put these notes together. So the Steelers running backs coach, Eddie Faulkner, he said that Caleb Johnson has a willingness to put his face in the fan, and the team sees him responding extremely well to their pass pro challenges and notes. He's just wired the right way, he said. And so we talked before about, are we concerned about Caleb Johnson? Are we concerned about this kind of late middle round running back that looks like he might not have the receiving work completely nailed down due to the fact that he didn't do it at Iowa? and due to the fact that there were loud concerns about his pass protection. Now you get Aaron Rodgers there and you begin to think, okay, well, pass pro just now became something that's even a bigger deal because you know that Aaron Rodgers is going to be on him about this. What do you think? Just where are you, Cody? Where are you right now on Caleb Johnson?
Last week, I would have told you I was all in. Me and Trashman talked about it on Friday or Monday about the Rodgers stuff and how that could potentially lean more towards Jaylen Warren getting more opportunities because we've historically known that Rodgers doesn't lean into and love rookies and particularly people that can't pass protect. Now, Rodgers also, I'm not going to say that we can use his 10 years or 20 years of historical data to leverage against what he's doing today because he's a person that changes daily. I think he may be the ultimate Bayesian human being. So maybe he trusts Caleb. Maybe he will trust Caleb. Maybe he'll give him a chance. And I would give him a chance. And this comment right here telling us that he is wired the way to learn and to be prepared to do those right things tells me that he's going to be prepared and going to be wired to do those right things and protect for Aaron Rodgers. And I also think the fact that when you just line up these dudes in the backfield and you got 6'1", 230-pound Caleb Johnson next to Kenny and Jaylen Warren, as dumb as it sounds, this is the guy you're going to lean on. This is the guy that's going to carry the load. This is the guy that's going to get 250 carries. This is the guy that's going to get the goal line opportunities. And this is the guy that the offense is going to lean on to protect and to lead the team in rushing and take you, you know, to a 9-8 season and keep Mike Tomlin's job in Pitt.
Well, the thing is, too, like this isn't the same situation that Aaron Rodgers has gone into. You know, it's not his team.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be calling the shots like he was, you know.
He said today it feels good for his soul.
Well, I'm glad that he assumes he has one.
Hey now.
I mean, this is Mike Tomlin's team. And Aaron Rodgers, as far as I'm concerned, this is his last leg. He's on his last leg here in the NFL. And so I think he's going to have to play by the rules. And so that means not being able to dictate, you know, what he might on another team in the past.
Just two more quick ones here before we get to those, though. Just a quick reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, please like the show and subscribe to the channel. It helps us out a ton. We've had a bunch of you guys click and like and a bunch of new subscribers. We can't thank you guys enough. And thanks for coming and watching. We're here every day. And just a quick note, sorry we missed yesterday. You guys will never believe what happened, dude. My internet went out because right when Trashman and I were about to start, Trashman, I didn't tell you what happened.
Hmm.
Do you know that hill coming down like right up by the highway where you can first see the lake, that big hill? A FedEx truck flipped over and ran into the into the pole and like knocked out the whole internet for the whole. So they've been
holy cow.
That's why it was out all day. So sorry about
the driver. Yeah.
No, he's my driver. So when I was driving up, I saw it. I was just like, he was standing outside. I'm like, dude, you okay? He's like, well, I guess. he was physically okay. He looked like a guy that was about to.
I don't know, maybe something internal.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But anyway, so sorry about missing the show yesterday. And then also if you're listening on the podcast feed, if you can like on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, if you can give the show a rating and a review, that would be very helpful. Okay, next, coach speak or not coach speak from Shane Steichen. Tyler Warren, rookie tight end, has been phenomenal so far.
Why would we assume it was coach speak? I mean, this is a guy we're assuming was going to be a stud in the NFL. And you know, so we're getting some confirmation that he has shown to be a stud so far. This is not really news to me, but you know. It makes sense. It tracks.
Cody?
Same thing. Like, it's to a certain extent in these OTAs, it's like, yes, we expect him to. We'd be shocked if it was the inverse. We'd be shocked if it was like Tyler Warren trips over shoelace.
He's got to step up.
Tyler Warren drops 6 footballs in a row. You know, it's like this quote from, you know, Raheem Morris in Atlanta. It's like Bijan Robinson made a cut in walkthrough today and we all lost our minds. Let's go home. Like, to a certain extent, it's OTAs. Like, the dudes with expectations should just be the dudes that fulfill expectation and don't really need to be discussed. But it is Indianapolis, and they're an offense that it's a lot of talent, and not all of it has come to fruition year over year. So glad to hear Tyler Warren can tie his shoes and run routes.
And finally, you talked about dropping 6 footballs in that hypothetical for Tyler Warren. Finally here, Cam Ward today, I believe it was 20 of 21 in team drills, looking good out there, looking crisp. And 6 of those receptions came from one man who was not drafted by the team. We're looking at almost a 30% target share for Xavier Restrepo. Are we gonna have to start thinking about drafting this guy? Trash man. Is it too trashy to imagine? He's Restrepo's been like the star of camp. It feels like there's no way that he doesn't make the team, and maybe there's no way he doesn't even. He might take Tyler Lockett's job.
I mean, there's still a lot of football to be played, you know, and the preseason will tell a lot too. But yeah, I mean, this is somebody. I mean, I think in best ball, it makes sense. It makes sense to pick up a strip all day.
Cody, what about your boy Strap?
Is it possible, Alex, that a league that is 100 years old with a lot of just older gentlemen that stick to their ways and forever just, you know, have to hand time. We got to stick with our hand time. This guy ran a 4.87 at his pro day. He's slow as hell. Like, he just didn't run fast enough. He just didn't check the box. So no one's going to draft him because he's just not good at football and he's slow.
Not good.
They tell us.
He's all-time statistical receiving leader.
But they tell us, yeah, the all-time statistical receiving leader in Miami of all schools, not Miami, Ohio, Miami, Florida. Yeah. And they tell us, you know, oh, yeah, the NFL's going to GPS. We're going to GPS. Well, if you're going to GPS, don't you think maybe they would have a number on Xavier Restrepo that was better than 8 miles an hour? Because if you ran a 4.88, it's probably not that great, right? Maybe they should, you know, update their process, because a player like Xavier Restrepo, as you said, the entire pre-draft process should not have went undrafted. And, you know, a 30% target share in OTAs, this is the type of conversation I want to have right here. I don't want to talk about Tyler Warren and Bijan Robinson. I want to talk about Xavier Restrepo being into the top 200 in Dynasty and being on the Roster Watch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet on June 11th.
Done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.